I'm going to carry on this morning, kind of with the conversation that God's been having us over the last few weeks. When I spoke a few weeks ago, I talked about Nehemiah and God commissioning us to go out into our neighbourhoods and streets and cafes and pubs and all kinds of places to bring God's kingdom in. And last week, Joe ended by kind of challenging us all and asking us who we are reaching out to and what our mission is. And we also kind of heard from God talking about going out in the strength of God. Val brought a little word about Gideon and going in God's strength. And I had a verse from Zechariah 4, verse 6 that said, "Not by might or by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord." So today I want to focus a bit more on this, about our going and in life, where we draw our strength from, and look at some ways to help us, hopefully. If there's time, there might not be, because God's given me a lot to say this morning. I want to try and leave a little bit of time for some prayer, because I really feel that God wants to impart some of his power to us today by his Holy Spirit to equip us in a new way to go out and be victorious in all that we do. And there are different sides to God's character. It talks in the Bible about God being like a lion and being like a lamb, and I really believe that God wants to give us more of his lion heart today. So I've called this Mission Possible. We'll find out why in a minute. So if you can, you go to the little video clip. Okay. I want to ask you some questions as we kind of kick off about our mission. It says in Mark chapter 16 that Jesus said, "Go into all the world and make disciples." Okay. How many of you this morning feel able to accept this mission that God's given us? If you were the one who was walking past that phone booth and answered the phone, do you think you would accept the mission? Sometimes the task ahead or the things that God tells us to do seem impossible. Maybe we look at the people around us and wonder how on earth we can get on and do the mission that God has given us to do. But I want to talk today about how we're equipped with everything we need to see this mission through. And unlike Ethan on there, we are not going to be disavowed. God is with us in everything that we do, and he's given us a different story to that. Okay, and I feel that sometimes some of you today might come feeling unable to cope with the things that are going on in your life. You might feel overwhelmed, you can't get your head around things, and you don't feel you have the capacity to give away anything to someone else because you feel like you can't even cope with things yourself, maybe. Or perhaps things in your life aren't too difficult, but you see difficulties of other people and things that they're suffering, and you want to be able to help them and maybe throw them a lifeline, but you're not quite sure how to do it. Perhaps you feel powerless or too small, not able to help these people. But this morning, I'm here to tell you that these things can be done. Okay, these things that you might be feeling or facing are not things that God agrees with, and he wants to do something about that today. Now, a few weeks ago, Liz brought us a prophetic word about having oppositions but not seeing them. And it was some people walking along, wasn't it, like in a fairground, and they saw like a dinosaur or something, wasn't it, rise up out of the water, and it kind of initially were really scared, but then they realised actually, oh, that's one of the rides, it's an attraction, it's not a real opposition. Okay, and there's lots of things that we come across in our lives that might be like that dinosaur that rises up, but actually God says these are not real oppositions. They're not things that you have to be fearful of or discouraged by, because actually Christ has the victory. Okay, so if you want to be able to better handle the things that life throws at you and to see that this isn't a mission impossible but it's mission possible, you've come to the right place. So Romans 8:37 says this: overwhelming victory is ours through Christ who loved us. Okay, and when I spoke about Nehemiah last time, part of it was looking at the opposition that he faced and how he stood up to that whilst he was rebuilding the walls of Jerusalem. And the thing that struck me, and that's kind of stuck with me since I spoke about that, was his utter dependency and trust in God to get the job done. He was adamant that the task could only get completed in the strength of God. He repeatedly says this throughout the book of Nehemiah, that our God will fight for us. He believed 100% in the power of God to come through in a situation that probably seemed impossible to people. And like Nehemiah, when we are actively going out and trying to advance the kingdom of God and live our lives, once we kind of accept Jesus into our life, we've picked a team that we're on, you know, and we will come up against opposition, because it's a fact. It says in Ephesians 6, our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against rulers and authorities and powers of this dark world and against spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Okay, and Jesus also says, in this world you will have trouble, but take heart, for I have overcome the world. Okay, now Nehemiah didn't start his rebuilding. He didn't go out to Jerusalem, and he wasn't on the lookout for opposition. He was trusting God. He went in God's strength, and he just got on with the job that God had told him to do. And I believe that the key point is that he went out, believing in the power of God and not himself to do the job. So we might not feel equipped, but God wants us to realise that with him we are more than able to go out and take the love of Jesus to other people. Okay, because God loves. We were singing and talking about it this morning, about God making us strong in our weakness. In 2 Corinthians 12, Paul says this: three times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me, but he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Okay, and as Christians we can stand strong in moments of attack, but it might be something that we have to work at. It probably is. When Nehemiah and the people first faced opposition when they were rebuilding the wall, it was about halfway through chapter 4, there was a point where they actually had to make a decision. It was like fight or flight, basically. They had to choose whether they were going to be intimidated by the opposition and the people that were trying to stop them from doing what they were doing. And they could have chosen to run away, to give up, but they didn't. They actively picked up weapons and carried on working so that they were ready to fend off any attack. It was a deliberate choice, something they did. And I believe God wants to equip us to handle any opposition we might come up against and difficult situations that we face in life. In fact, he has already equipped us, okay? He's already given us the things we need, but perhaps we haven't picked up those things yet, the kit that he gives us. Or perhaps we use it a bit, but not perhaps effectively or something. Okay, can I have slide number 5? Okay, so when we're faced with perhaps what looks like mission impossible, this is what I think we need to do. Okay, we need to remember this little advert that used to be on TV for road safety: stop, look and listen. Okay, first of all, we need to stop. We need to acknowledge God. We need to look and recognise who he is, and we need to listen to what he is saying in that particular situation. So, does anyone want to throw out some ideas or statements about what or who God is? I've got a few on here. I can start you off if you like. I've got, he is King.
Lord of all.
Lord, yeah.
Father,
yeah.
Love,
yeah.
Saviour. Conqueror,
yeah, I've got. Say that again. He's creator, yeah.
Creator,
he's creator. Any other?
Shepherd.
Yep, shepherd. Great, there's loads of ideas there. Okay, so we need to stop and acknowledge God, acknowledge that he is king, he's a creator, he's victorious, he keeps his promises, he heals the sick, he brings salvation, he is the author of life, okay. Nehemiah was constantly looking at who God was. And he then recognised who he was and his unworthiness, and he kind of confessed his sins and the sins of the Israelites, and he repented. So he was willing to be used to carry out God's plan. to restore Jerusalem. Okay, can you just pop the next one? Okay, as part of this stopping, I found this verse, which I think is really key. It's from James 4:7. It says, "Submit yourselves then to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you." So to submit means to accept the will of a higher force or superior authority. Nehemiah recognised who God was, and he then submitted to his rule and authority in his life. So acknowledging who we are and who God is important in our walk. Okay, Nehemiah he referred to himself as God's servant, so he has a servant heart and he's making his life available, so he submits to God and he's prepared to be used. Okay, he's almost handing over his life and giving up control in order that God can work through him. And I feel that God might want to challenge us to do that today. Okay. Perhaps you're quite happy with life at the moment. Things are going okay. And you're maybe not quite ready to get your hands dirty. Nehemiah would have had a good life as a cupbearer. He would have been living in a court with a king, probably in luxury. He would have been in an influential position and trusted by the king. But he was prepared to leave that and go to a land 800 miles away, probably quite dusty and hot and sweaty, and he was prepared to get his hands dirty, okay? And he had to rely 100% on God to get him through. He left his comfort zone and went out. And so I believe God might want to challenge us today to ask us to look at our life and our hearts. God says, "What are you prepared to do for me? Okay, where are you prepared to go? Are you willing to take my heart out into the world to bring more people into my family?" Okay. When Nehemiah faced opposition, he acknowledged and remembered who God was, and it gave him strength to continue building and not give up. Okay, so when we acknowledge, when we stop and when we look to God and acknowledge who he is, it takes our eyes off the situation and it lifts them heavenward, okay? It changes our perspective. Psalm 105:4 says, "Look to the Lord and his strength, seek his face always." Okay, when we look on the victorious one, it gives us strength. If we're looking to God, all the things that seem massive kind of pale into insignificance in comparison. Okay, so the next thing we need to do we've stopped, we've acknowledged who God is, then we've looked up to him, taken our eyes off the situation, and next we need to listen to who we are and what God says we are. Could you flip it to the next one? Okay. So we need to be aware of who we are and our identity in Christ when we have accepted him as our Saviour. Nehemiah and the Jews knew who they were. It says in Nehemiah that they were a people belonging to God and they were carrying out his mission. So it's really important that we know who we are in Christ at the outset. And we need to know in our hearts what God says about us. Okay. Do you have rules in your house or your family? We have some in ours. Quite a few. Okay, so sometimes they're practical rules, like take shoes off when you come in, you're not allowed upstairs, you know, like things like that. Don't eat on the sofa. We normally say grace before we eat our meal, things like that. And some of them are rules that kind of bring out qualities and values that we're trying to teach our children. Like politeness and always saying I love you once a day and saying sorry if you've been wrong and I forgive you and try not to let the sun go down on our anger. Okay, well, God has got some house rules if we're in his family. And one that he wants to highlight, I think, specifically to us. I don't know if I've put it on there. No, I'm going to read it out then in a sec. So you've heard it said that, it's quite a popular saying, that resistance is futile. Resistance is the refusal to accept or comply with something, and futile means being incapable of producing any useful result. So basically, it's pointless. Resistance is pointless. Well, in God's house, he doesn't say that, okay? When we live in God's family, God says resistance is essential to survival because the enemy will always look for ways to oppose anything that is advancing the kingdom of God, because he is opposite of everything that God stands for. Okay, so I've made a little list there of some of the values and things, some of the rules maybe, some of the things that exist in God's family, in God's house, and there may be opposites of those. Okay, so we've got things like, in God's house, he speaks truth. Okay, out in the world, it's lies and deceit. In God's house, he speaks peace. Maybe out in the world, in the kingdom of darkness, there is anxiety and confusion. God's house is about family. In the world, it's isolation. Okay, Satan would say it is. And there's all those different ones there. I mean, the list could go on, but they're just some that I thought of. Okay. Nehemiah recognised the qualities of God's family. He reminded God of his promises to Moses in chapter 1, verse 8, that he was going to give the Israelites a home. That he knew that God could bring favour and blessing to his children, so he boldly asked him to do it. He knew that he was creator of a family, and he knew that God was someone who could restore. Okay, and there's lots of places throughout the book of Nehemiah where Nehemiah reminds God of these things. So he knew that he could complete what looked like an impossible mission because he knew whose side he was on, okay, which family he belonged to. I think this is what Dave read already this morning from 1 Peter. But you are a chosen people. It goes on to say, once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Okay, so once, before we accepted Christ, we were on this side. We stood over here in this kingdom and maybe were ruled by the things that kingdom says. But when you've accepted Christ as Lord and Saviour in your life, you move into this kingdom over here, into the kingdom of God, into his family. And therefore, all the things that are in that list, we sit underneath those things and all the goodness that represents, okay? When we become a Christian, that's a given, that's guaranteed, okay? Because Christ's death paid for that once and for all, and with the Holy Spirit, it's been sealed in us. So we've moved to that side. So we, you know, none of these things, not to say that we aren't affected by them, but we have to remember that we don't belong on that side. We belong on that side, okay? Can you put the next slide up? I found this quote when I was doing some preparation. It says, so don't be spooked into thinking the devil is anything other than a yapping dog with gums and no teeth as far as your salvation is concerned. But what the devil can do is distract you, overwhelm you, undermine you, lie to you, confuse you, depress you, and silence you if you let him, okay?
Yeah.
And he might try and do that. But today, I really feel it's important that we make a conscious decision that he's not going to succeed in that, okay? We will encounter trouble because we live in a fallen world. And there will be times when he deliberately tries to stop you from moving forward in what God has got for your life. And so that's why it's so important to listen to what God says about us and who we are in him. Because we don't have to accept those things that he's throwing at us necessarily. Okay? Some kind of practical things that might happen in your life. I don't know. I had a little one this week, well, a couple, in trying to prepare for doing this, actually, that I really felt frustrated by, because I came down with a really bad migraine on Thursday night when I had put the evening aside to go out with three non-Christian friends who I really desperately need to see Jesus in their life. And I was walking around to my friend's house, and on the way round, this migraine just hit me, and it meant that the whole night I could not really be, I wasn't really there. I couldn't, and I'd gone in my heart thinking, I'm going to, this is going to be a really good opportunity to sow some seeds tonight, because each of them are going through some quite difficult stuff. And that was almost like, to me, it was frustrating, because I wanted to move on. And I know that it's so important in those moments to give them up to God, to look to Him, and to not sit under on this—it's not there now—but to trust God and to be in His strength and power, and to not try and move out in your own. Okay. So let me just collect my thoughts again. Sorry. Move to the next slide. Some of the kit that He gives us to cope with some of these situations, okay? It's called the armour of God. We will read about it in Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 to 18. Would someone like to read that for me?
Last of all, I want to remind you that your strength must come from the Lord, the Lord's mighty power within you. Put on all of God's armour so that you will be able to stand safe against all strategies and tricks of Satan. For we are not fighting against people made of flesh and blood, but against persons without bodies, the evil rulers of the unseen world. Those mighty satanic beings and great evil princes of darkness who rule this world, and against huge numbers of wicked spirits in the spirit world. So use every piece of God's armour to resist the enemy whenever he attacks. When it is all over, you will still be standing up. But to do this, you will need the strong belt of truth and the breastplate of God's approval. Wear shoes that are able to speed you on as you preach the good news of peace with God. In every battle, you will need faith as your shield to stop the fiery arrows aimed at you by Satan. And you will need the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Pray at all times. Ask God for anything in line with the Holy Spirit's wishes. Plead with Him, reminding Him of your needs, and keep praying earnestly for all Christians everywhere.
Thank you. Okay, so it says in the Bible that God has given us armour, okay, to protect us and to help us when we're out on our mission. Okay, and there's so much that can be said about this. Mm-hmm. I'm going to try and sum it up and not spend too long, but there is loads that could be said. Okay, so He gives us weapons to fight this. When we're out and about, advancing the kingdom, okay? He gives us full armour, okay? It's protection for everything. It covers the whole body. It's for the physical protection, spiritual protection, emotional protection, okay? And the first thing it talks about is the belt of truth. The belt goes all around us, okay? And for a soldier, a Roman soldier, which is the kind of armour that Paul is describing in Ephesians, his belt would have actually had what's called a sheath, which is the place to hold the sword, okay? And later on in the armour, we see that we have the sword of the Spirit. So the belt of truth. Who knows what truth is? What is the truth? Well, I'm going to say it's the Word of God. Yeah. So it is really important that we read our Bibles, that we try to understand it, that we learn it, because there's some good stuff in here. And it's really important that the stuff that it says in here, we verbalise it, we speak it out, maybe sing it out, maybe shout it out, I don't know. Because it's life and it's truth, and it will change us and shape us. And there's so many amazing stories in here of people who went out in God's strength and power and saw some amazing things happen. And this is like, this is a good book. You need to like read more of it. Okay. Because the more you read it, the more it's in here, in your head, and you can remember it. And it changes you. It changes your thoughts, it changes your heart, it changes your attitude and everything that you do. Okay, the next thing he gives us is the breastplate of righteousness. Which breastplate would have covered the torso, the body, which holds the vital organs and the heart. Okay. Who knows what righteousness means?
Right standing with God.
Yes. Mm. Okay. Being made right with God. Okay. So the breastplate of righteousness perhaps represents that we have been made right with God. We need to remember that. And it means that we have moved from this side to that side on our list into a new family. And it means that our character and our heart is protected, okay, when we come to faith in Jesus. Maybe when Satan tries to condemn us, or try and ruin our character, or make us feel guilty, or remind us of sin, we are covered by the blood of Jesus, okay, by this breastplate of righteousness. It's also about our character and how we conduct ourselves, doing good and bringing justice. Okay, in Isaiah 59, it talks about God putting on a breastplate of righteousness when he goes out into the world to bring justice. Okay. The next thing is, it talks about having our feet fitted in readiness. Okay. This is an image of having protective footwear on. A Roman soldier would have worn shoes on his feet. Okay. And it's important that we're ready to take the good news with us. And the good news that God gives us is the gospel of peace, okay? He's not asking us to respond perhaps in a way that the world would. Okay, when Jesus went about bringing the gospel of peace, and when he came up against opposition, he didn't retaliate in a violent way or anything, okay? He responded in an unexpected way. There's loads of examples in the Bible of how Jesus responded. When Jesus is betrayed by Judas and was arrested, Peter immediately cuts off the ear of the high priest's servant. Peter responded in fear, I guess. He was trying to defend and protect Jesus, but Jesus didn't respond that way. He didn't condone that behaviour. He actually brought peace, and then in his grace, he healed that man's ear, didn't he? I'm not sure if I would have responded the way Jesus did, I don't know. So, yeah. And when his death was approaching, I find it amazing to think that even though Jesus was completely God and completely man, He still needed to draw strength from his father. And it says, doesn't it, that he went off. Like we were talking about earlier, he withdrew and he stopped and he took his eyes off what was going on and he looked upwards to heaven to draw his strength from Father God. Okay, the next thing he gives us is a shield of faith. A Okay, a large Roman shield would have been covered with leather and soaked in water so that when the flaming arrows were fired at it, it would put out the flames. Okay. And it would have been quite big, I think. And it was light enough to hold in one hand, it said, but what they used to do is they would all line up and put their shields together, so they weren't just protecting themselves, they were protecting one another. Okay. So it was more effective that way, and they were stronger together than fighting in isolation. So it's important that we stand in faith together with one another, okay? And Nehemiah did this, and the Jews did this when they were rebuilding the wall. They spotted a place, a part of the wall that was the defences were down, or that perhaps were going to be under threat. They would blow a trumpet, and then people would come and join them, and their defences were stronger there. Okay, we need to be discerning and help one another and look out for each other. Perhaps if we can see someone who's bit vulnerable and needs some extra faith, okay. Next thing he gives us is the helmet of salvation, which protects the head, where your mind is, your emotions are. Okay. This is one that's a big challenge for me, because you get so many thoughts, don't you, in your head, and it's so easy to listen to those, and that's okay if they're things that God says, but if you're listening to the things that God's not saying, that's not so good. Okay, it's in Colossians it says, set your minds and keep them set on what is above, the higher things. In 2 Corinthians it says, take every thought captive. And in Romans 12 it says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed or changed by the entire renewal of your mind. Okay. When really important, and it's something that I think for me personally, I need to work on using that helmet of salvation a bit more, not listening to doubts and fears. Maybe, for example, you might, even standing up here today in front of you guys, listen to the little voices in my head. It's really important that I put that helmet of salvation on, okay? Mm-hmm. And it's important for you guys too. Mm-hmm. He next gives us the sword of the Spirit. Found this quote. It says, this, however, is no ordinary sword. The sword is made of the Spirit and the Word. In spiritual warfare, the battles are fought with words. Words are packed and backed up with the Spirit of God. In Hebrews 4, it says, for the Word of God is living and active and sharper than any double-edged sword. This is actually one of my favourite Bible verses, because there is so much power in those verses. Okay, and God gives us that power. He gives us the sword of the Spirit, and we need to learn how to use it. Okay. Because it brings life. It also brings death to the enemy. The Word of God has power to change things, to speak life where there isn't any. Okay. And the next thing it says is that we must pray in the Spirit. Okay. It says all the time we should be praying all kinds of prayers. So what kind of prayers does this mean? Maybe it means focused prayer in like prayer meetings. Maybe it means by yourself, having deliberate prayer time set aside in your day. Maybe it's prayer thrown up in the heat of the moment. Maybe it's having a conversation with God as you go about your day-to-day stuff. It's about praying in tongues. It's about praying out the Word of God, which is the sword of the Spirit. It's about praying for one another. It's about praying in good times and in bad times, and not just when we feel like it or remember. Prayer needs to be a habit. Okay, and for me, actually, when I became a mum, praying, I actually found it really hard to start with, because I would feel guilty for not having the time to sit down and have a quiet time. But actually, I've started praying in a new way since becoming a mum, because I've had to be creative in how in when I pray, because I don't have the time necessarily. I've maybe a little bit more now do it. Now the kids are at school, but when they were very young, I didn't have that time to sit down and pray. So I had to work God into my life in a different way. When I was just doing stuff, I would try and remember to talk to him when I was doing the washing up or, I don't know, walking to school or feeding the ducks at the park. I had to do it because, and actually it's brought so much freedom for me. And it's been really transformative because I've left that guilt behind about, you know, not having time, because actually my whole day, my whole life is including him, okay, and having a conversation with him and spending time with God is so important, okay. There's a statistic that says you are the average of the five people you spend the most time with. I find this quite interesting and very challenging. Are you spending time with God? Are you being with him? Are you including him in your day? Are you becoming more like him and learning what his heart is, what he values, what he endorses? Okay, and the last thing is to be alert, to keep watch, to be on the lookout, and be ready, okay? Not get too comfortable, okay, but be ready to get up if you need to defend yourself. Or someone else. Can you move to the next slide? But I could go on, there's way loads more, but we won't. Okay. If you want to save a life, you need to wear a lifesaver on. That's what the Americans would call one of those, a lifesaver. Okay. To see people come into the kingdom of God will mean taking risks, and it will mean you need to do something. Okay, Paul, who wrote all that stuff we just read about, the armour of God in Ephesians, he wrote those words, and he was a man who knew how to take risks to see people saved, and he also knew how to put on his lifesaver and to use that armour of God that has been given to us. Okay, he wrote those words when he was in prison, okay, been arrested for his faith, and yeah, he knew how to use the armour when he was facing difficult situations. So just like the builders of the wall who took up their weapons, okay, we need to learn to pick up and use the weapons that God has given us. And the more we do it, the more natural it will become. It might be a bit awkward at first. It might not come naturally, might not happen all the time or instinctively, but if we make a conscious decision to do it and to start doing it and to continue to do it, then it will become a natural thing. Okay. Okay. So, I asked some questions at the start about how we were feeling, if we felt we had strength and things, and whether we were able to accept the mission that God gives us, or the call that he gives us in our lives, and to see that it's not mission impossible, but mission possible. Okay. So I want you to have just written a few questions there. Do you feel like you might be missing some pieces of your armour today? Can you identify places that need restocking? Perhaps you need help to pick up the armour that God's given you. Where are you drawing your strength from? Okay. Do you want to stand firm and still be found standing? Like it says in Ephesians 6. Okay, because if you do, you will need some help from the Holy Spirit, because he gives you the power and strength you need, okay, and he is more than capable of handling any situations that you face in your life. In 1 John 4, verse 4, it says, he that is in you is greater than he that is in the world. Okay, we need to be filled with the living, breathing power of the Spirit of God, okay. The next one, and then come back to that. Put it in the wrong order. Okay, when I was preparing, God gave me this picture. Well, I felt that he told me to just Google this. It was just a tree that had withstood a tsunami. Okay, and there's this miracle pine tree. It's called the Tree of Hope now. And out of 70,000 trees, it's the only one that stood, remained standing after this tsunami. okay, and I really felt that it's important for us to be like that tree. It's a tree of hope, it's called. But unless we are drawing our strength from God, then that won't happen, okay? So I'm going to read Isaiah 54 over us. I felt God is speaking to us today. And then I'd like to just leave some time to pray, I think. Afflicted, this is God talking to us as a church. Afflicted city, storm battered and pitted. I'm about to rebuild you with stones of turquoise. Lay your foundations with sapphires. Construct your towers with rubies. Your gates with jewels and all your walls with precious stones. And all your children will have God for their teacher. What a mentor for your children. You'll be built solid, grounded in righteousness, far from any trouble, with nothing to fear. Far from terror, it won't even come close. If anyone attacks you, don't for a moment suppose that I sent them. And if any should attack, nothing will come of it. I create the blacksmith who fires up his forge and makes a weapon designed to kill. I also create the destroyer, but no weapon that can hurt you has ever been forged. Any accuser who takes you to court will be dismissed as a liar. This is what God's servants can expect. I'll see to it that everything works out for the best. This is God's decree. Okay. Amen. So I just think it'd be good to pray with one another and just remember some of those questions that perhaps I've challenged you with at the end there about whether you need some more of God's strength. I know I do. So yeah, Lord, I just commit each of us into your hands, Lord, and I just pray that you would fill us up with the power of you, Lord, with your power, Lord, to go out knowing and trusting and believing wholeheartedly that we go in your strength and not our own, Lord. Help us to use those things that you've given us. If we come up against any trouble, help us most of all to stand strong in you, Lord, so that we can be still standing, Lord. At the end of the day, thank you for your power, and I thank you that you offer it to each one of us here today. In the name of Jesus.